put money in it, and that money could be used to repair God's temple. And he had a godly priest that helped mentor him. He was just a boy king and protected from the wicked queen mother, who was a Baal worshiper. And he was eventually killed. He was assassinated. And Amaziah did not kill the children of the men that killed his dad, Joash, but he just killed them, and he followed the law of God. He was a godly king. And he wanted to strengthen his army so that they could march, amen? They could march and defeat the enemies of Judah, the southern kingdom, and they were the Edomites. And so he built an army of over 300,000 men, a great army. He had captains over thousands and captains over hundreds, and they became a strong army, a strong military. I understand our military has run down under the machine and is now in terrible danger, and that is no place for a country to be. One of the main reasons you have a government is to protect your country against enemies, foreign and domestic. And our country's being overrun. There's devils on the loose here. We're in terrible shape. But this guy was a godly king, and this king had a good army. But he did something that he shouldn't have done, as often kings do. And that is, he hired 100,000 men from the northern kingdom of Israel. Now you say, well, they're good people, they're Israelites. Well, unfortunately, they had become liberals. They'd become apostates. They had turned from God. And God no longer recognized Israel as being in obedience to him. They were being chastened. And so that was something that was a no-no. And whenever a king would get off track in Judah, God would send a man of God to him. And it was a prophet. And kings need prophets. Amen. Remember, even godly David needed a prophet Nathan to call him up short. And by the way, you need preaching of the Word of God. If you think you're above preaching and you think you're above the altar, you're too big for your cotton-picking britches. And every king was like that. And remember, David humbled himself and got under the Word of God. And so the man of God said to him, listen, you can't use these Israelites. You just tell them, stand down. You're not going to use them. And the king is like, but I paid them 10 talents of silver. You know how much money that is in today's money? $53,000. That's a lot of money. And he didn't want to lose that. So here's what he said to the man of God. He said, and Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the man of God answered, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. 2 Chronicles 25:9. And I thought I'd preach on that tonight. The name of the message is, the Lord is able to give you much more. The Lord is able to give you much more. I remember going to pastor's school, thousands of people gathering in 2008. And I remember that the pastor at that time of the First Baptist Church was Dr. Jack Scott, and he changed his view on the preservation of the King James Bible to say that the preserved Word of God in the old King James Bible was not preserved as a living Word of God. It was there, but it was not living. Only the Greek Textus Receptus was the living Word of God. The King James, he said, was the best translation of it, but the promise of it being alive did not hold for the King James Bible. I remember writing him. We wrote 5 letters back and forth over that. And I disputed that. And when I found out about the change in the Bible that he had made, I decided not to go to pastor school anymore. It had been a great blessing for many years, but I made that decision. I will not lead my people to pastor school. The only problem was, many of them had already paid for their application to go. And so the question was asked to me by the members of the church, well, what about our money that we paid? And I said, from 2 Chronicles 25:9, the Lord is able to give you much more than that. And I want to say that to you tonight. Some of you may be worried about money. Money that you've given. Money that you've invested in God's cause. And let me tell you, God is able to give you much more than that. You may have given your tithes and you may have given offerings generously. And you say, oh man, that hurt a little bit. I wonder what's going to happen to me. God is able to give you much more than that. And so that is the message for today. Now, here's what it says here. It says in 2 Chronicles 25, 7 and 8, these words. But there came a man of God to him, saying, O king, let not the army of Israel go with thee, for the Lord is not with Israel, to wit, with all the children of Ephraim. But if thou wilt go, do it. Be strong for the battle. In other words, if you're not going to listen to what I preach, go ahead, do it. Strengthen yourself. Do the best you can. Give it your best shot. He said, be strong for the battle, the prophet says. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to cast down. You know, what we need more than anything else is just God's blessing. If we just had God's blessing. But we think all these other things are more important than God's blessing. No, it is not. We need God's blessing so that he will hear and answer our prayer. And apparently the king took it to heart. Because the king decided to tell the armies of Israel, go home. 100,000 men, go home. Take your silver with you, go home. We're not going to use you. And so what a wonderful thing that is. Now, I want to say, though, when Amaziah said to the man of God initially, what shall be done with the silver that we've given? The man of God says, the Lord is able to give you much more. Now, I want to say about that, number one, the Lord is able to give you much more when it comes to you giving your tithes and your offerings. The Lord is able to give much more. Some of you tonight may say to me, Pastor, or you may know somebody, Pastor, I can't afford to give 10% of all my increase. Well, I just want to say to you that you can't afford not to. Because otherwise you're going to be living on Biden's economy, Kamala's economy, the machine's economy, the devil's economy. I don't want to live there. I am so glad that I have taken God's word to heart in Malachi 3, for example, where he said, prove me, put me to the test. I've done it. And God's tested me. And he's never failed me. Never failed me. Biden's failed me. Oh, amen. Kamala's failed me. Amen. T. Tim has failed me. Amen. But God has never failed me. And he promises that he will rebuke the devourer for you if you faithfully serve him. But if you don't tithe, God will take, and if you don't give offerings, God will take it all back from you. You say, but what will I do for the money that I just gave away? 10% of all my gross income. What am I going to do for the offerings I give to Faith Promise over to Bud? What am I going to do with all that money? And Amaziah said to the man of God, what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel? And the prophet says, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Think about that. More than all that money that they gave away. And it was silver. By the way, silver is real money. Did you know that? Do you know that? When we got this fiat currency that we have now, it's just about finished. It's just about ready to be used as toilet paper, like the German mark was years ago. It's just about finished, my friend. But that doesn't matter with God. God is in control. He's in control. And the best investment is to invest in God and his kingdom. And some of you might say, oh, I can't afford that, Pastor. I've got to do money for businesses. I got to do money for groceries. I got to do money. That's fine. Do all that, but put God first. Amen. Seek ye first. And that's what the Lord says. The Lord says this in Malachi 3. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. You know what? This is God's revealed will. You say, well, what's the storehouse today? It's the general fund in the temple of God, the local New Testament church. Bring ye all the tithes into the general fund. Now, the offerings over and above that can be given to Faith Promise, can be given to bus, can be given for other things, scholarship in school and so forth. Those are all available, but listen to me. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Somebody said, well, I use my tithe for something else. I send it away to some televangelist or something or whatever you do. No, that's not what you do. I had one guy say, I give tuition to Christian school. That's my tithe. I said, it's not. Oh, no, it's not. Play on words. No, you got it wrong. The tithe is the Lord's. You don't give your tithe. You pay it or God will take it. God will take it. Because you're robbing him if you don't give it. By the way, offerings are the Lord's too. And if he moves you to do it and you don't do it, then let's say you make a faith promise and then you missionary was here, you made a faith promise, and then you stop giving it. Well, you're robbing God. And I wouldn't want to be in your shoes. I just wouldn't want to be in your shoes. You're a crook. And you can repent of that. The altar's here and you can get right with God. So the Lord's command is bring, notice this, all the tithes into the storehouse. All means all. That means all of the tithes on your gross income. You know, when somebody takes me out to dinner, I say, am I paying or am I tithing? Either I'm paying for the dinner or I'm tithing on the dinner. Now, it's cheaper to pay on the dinner. I mean, it's cheaper to tithe on the dinner, but I'll say that because any gift that you give, it is a provision of the Lord that he has given you. I was given an all-expense-paid trip to Israel 2016 for my wife and I. All expense paid. Everything. And you know, I was tithing on that for a long time to pay that off to the Lord in the local church. I paid it off. It's been paid off for a while, but I got it paid off. And I did what the Israelites did. I don't believe we're under that, but I added 20% to the amount tithe. So I figured out the amount tithe and then took that tithe and put 20% on it like they did in Leviticus. And I paid because I'm redeeming it. I'm not giving it immediately. So I do that when I have a deferred tithe like that. And you know what? It's been a blessing to remember these things. I think about a tithe that we had recently. I have a house that we had a foundation problem in our house. We had water coming in everywhere. Brother Joe, it's some through the water, some through the flood, some through the fire. It's always water with me, Brother Joe. It must have been from my grandfather Bloom, my great-grandfather. He was over the waterworks in Amsterdam. He was the guy that when he was a kid, he put his finger in the dike, you know, his thumb or whatever it was. But anyway, my daughter just came back from Holland, and she was telling me all about her trip to Holland and Terschelling and where the Blooms came from and all that. It was interesting. But I'm just saying, our house was just leaking in the basement all over the place. And when you have a foundation problem in your house, you have to sell it as is. Amen? It's not good. So all of a sudden, Brother Bob Bajeski, his father, and Bob and their business, they decided they're going to come over and bring heavy equipment and dig all around the house, down around the foundation. And I mean, literally, Bobby's dad, he wouldn't even take food. He was drinking water. That's all he would take, just a glass of water. And then he'd go right back to work. It rained, and he was working through the rain. And he would parge. He found big holes in the foundation. He'd take cement and just parge that foundation. He's just parging it. You say, Pastor, did you go out begging for that? No. I just serving God. Just giving the tithes. No, I prayed about our foundation. I said, Lord, it's not good to have a bad foundation. God just moved on his heart to do that. But you know what? That was a tithe and a half. I'm still paying on that. I figured that all out. That was a lot. More than Israel. And wow. And then the Bajeskis, the whole family, did our landscaping around it. And how nice it looked. Never looked that nice. And you know what? I take that and I'm thankful for that, but I take that from the Lord, you see. And so I'm just saying that you might not say, I'll tithe everything and I'll give the offerings. Well, you might not do it, but you might not see the hand of God helping you. Like I get to see the hand of God. And others get to see the hand of God. That prove that God is real. He's real. And so you say, well, what's the purpose for giving all your tithes and offerings to the storehouse of the general fund and then the offerings to the offering funds in the local church? Well, the result of you obeying God's command is put this way. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. Well, that there may be meat. What is that? That is the purpose for you doing it. If members of this church, every member of this church, are faithful in paying tithes and giving offerings, then the house of God will be healthy and full of provisions. Meat in my house. We'll live up to our name. Thrive. Just don't survive in 2025. I don't care how the economy is. I don't care who's in power, in one sense of the word. I do care. But I'm just saying I do care. You know that. But I'm just saying, no matter what, you will thrive, not just survive, in 2025 by putting God first in tithes and offerings. And so we want to do that, not only in tithes, but in offerings. Because, for instance, our missionaries are paid out of the offering. Our bus ministry is missionary. We don't want to cut back to one bus and no buses and have no way. We want to keep going. And so the purpose is that the church might have what it needs to do the work. And thank God that he's been doing that. And I believe that's because many of you are faithful in tithes and offerings. Then there's the promises that God gives you when you give. Promises. He says, prove me now. In other words, put me to the test in this area. See if I won't keep my promises. You say, well, what are God's promises? I'll give you three of them here in Malachi 3. Number one, he will pour out times of overflowing provisions. I remember, I've said it before, I remember when our building was sold here and all this money was given and God provided. We went through some trials, Brother Joe, but our church was barned again. Brother Joe sold a barn and donated it to the Lord and to the church, and it just helped us. I remember another time I was out of state on vacation. I was debating somebody about tithing. I said it's before the law, during the law, after the law, in the book of Hebrews. They were saying no. I was saying yes. That night, I went to an independent fundamental Baptist church for a Wednesday night service. I came home, and the church was poured out $10,000 to meet the need of this church that we needed because of one tithe. It was a tithe. Somebody tithed it. They must have got a lot of money. If you tithe, God blesses, and he says that he will, in your life, pour out times of blessing in your life where it will be overflowing. He said he'll open the windows of heaven. You won't have room enough to receive it. I remember when I prayed for a wife. I can identify with you. I prayed for a wife. And when you pray for a wife and wait on him, you get a good blessing. You know, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. So I prayed for a wife. But when I got my wife, you know, it was reputed that I was dressing like John the Baptist in college. My clothing was not the best. I didn't take good care of it. I didn't iron it properly. That's before you did, you know, I needed to iron my... So I was kind of, you know, girls were looking down at my dress, I think. But when my wife came, she came with a trunk full of clothing that she had stored up for me. And it was overflowing, pressed down, shaken together, running over. And the sequel to that story is all the clothing I get cost about 25 cents or 50 cents or a dollar or sometimes $5 at the max. All of it. I mean, it's amazing how God provides through that woman. She just keeps bringing it. And some of you have gotten blessed by it. So that's the overflow. Amen and amen. I think she's got the Jewish Abrahamic blessing because her father is Ashkenazi Jew. She's got Jew in her. She looks a little like Anne Frank sometimes. But I'm just saying, God pours out the blessing. And so he will pour it out. Number two, he says that he will rebuke the devourer. Malachi 3:11 says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. You know what the devourer is, don't you? That's all the things that can just scarf your money up. God says, if you're not giving tithes and offerings, I'll take it from you anyway. Isn't that amazing? I saw that happen in church. I've shared it many times. I never forget it. The guy was sitting right over where Steve Manning is. Not that you would do this, Steve. He knew the preaching on tithing. He had saved his tithe, but he said, I'm not giving it. And he put it in his sock. He stuck it right in his sock. And he said, I was sitting there as you're preaching, and I had the tithe in my sock. And I said, I'm not giving. I'm not going to. And sure enough, he didn't give it. Offering went by, he left it in his sock, he took it home, I got it. Well, God says you're robbing God. And that's like taking a gun to God's head. You don't want to do that. And so that night, his wife got sick and had to go to the emergency. And the exact amount of money in his sock, he had to pay for the emergency bill, which was a big tithe, gone. You know what? He repented. He got right with God, and God brought that money back to him in his mercy. I would suggest you get right with God. Start paying him back if you've been cheating him on tithes and offerings, because you don't want to cheat the Lord, the one that died for us and rose again for our sins. You don't want to cheat him. You want to put a smile on his face like we heard tonight. Now, there's a third thing he said he would do. He said that you will be called a delightsome land. Now, that's talking about the land of Israel. And he was talking about, you know, I will remove the curse from the land. God could curse the land when they disobeyed his commandments. And he would curse the land. And he would let no rain come. And he would let no crops come and everything else. And you know, Israel for hundreds and hundreds of years was cursed. There were just malaria swamps. You go to Israel now, that land is being blessed by God. I mean, bananas, where people come from Colombia to see how Israel's growing their bananas. Fruit trees. I mean, people are astounded at it. It used to just be malaria swamp and desert. God is blessing the land of Israel. You say, why? He's getting ready for the end times. And they're going to be blessed of God. But God's just showing his promises to them. Listen, if God will do that for Israel, won't he do it for you and I? Oh, yes, he will. You want your family to be blessed, your church to be blessed? Don't start with cheating God. That is no way. That is no way indeed. I don't want my job cursed. I don't want my finances cursed by Almighty God. I want the blessing to be upon it. And so I'm just saying that is what the Lord is able to do. He's able to give you much more when it comes to your tithes and your offerings. Let me say secondly that he's able to give you much more when it comes to the source of your supplies. See, there's a problem that we have. When God begins to bless us, he usually uses something or someone. He may use your job. He may use a person. And listen, what we tend to do is we are idolaters. We tend to focus on that person. I remember, Joe, remember the gyra? Wasn't that a nice provision of God? But then that gyra just went away and we didn't have anymore. But that didn't stop God from providing food for you or for me or for us. No, it doesn't. I talked to you about Charlie Ware. He used to always get money in his mailbox and pay his college bill. One day it didn't come in the mailbox. It had come all year. He had no job but preaching, and God provided through money being sent all over the country in the mailbox. One time it didn't come, and I was like, oh, no. But God brought it in to the business office. See, See, God isn't limited by people. Elijah, remember that he was told by God to go to the brook Cherith and hide there, and you have water there, and the ravens flew in his food. But what happened when the water stopped? What happened when the ravens stopped? God still had something for him. He said, I want a widow now to provide for you. That's crazy. A widow that had enough money for one meal. That was it. What's God's point? Get your eyes back on me. Some of you, you can tell if you've got your eyes on your job or your eyes on your employer or your eyes on some person, because when that provision gets shaken, you get all irritable about it. You get upset about it. You don't have to be upset. And there are some people, they see a person being blessed and provided for, and they try to jump in on the blessings of that person. No, you need to see the source of it. It's God. It's God. You could jump in on their provision. God will dry it up because you've got a bad motive. You're trying to play games. God sees that. You're not trusting God. God says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Don't miss the last part of that. According to his riches and glory. The need is just food and clothing. Be content. But I have found out God loves to pour out blessings just so he blows my mind. And I can praise him for it, and I can brag on God to you about it. It is just a wonderful thing. So listen, don't focus on the blessings. Keep your focus on the blesser. Why? Because the Lord is able to give you much more when it comes to your tithes and offerings. When it comes to the source, the Lord, Jehovah Jireh, of your supplies. And finally, when it comes to the source of your salvation. The greatest gift God ever gave me was salvation. He gave his only begotten son. Wow, that is sacrifice. That makes any tithe you give and any offering you give to God nothing compared to that. Can you imagine giving your child and giving that child to die for God? Now, God's not asking you to do that. But if he did, can you imagine it? Like he did to Abraham? Can you imagine? But that's what God did for us. He gave his only begotten son and stood down while his son was being spit upon, beaten, crucified, going through hell itself. And he stood down. Why? So that you and I could be forever enjoying a free, rent-free home in heaven. It's a free gift, my friend. And so he could say, give me the 100%. I own everything you got. He says, give me the 90%. And offerings, as God touches you with my love and appreciation, so that you could sacrifice. And God sees it. And he blesses it. Because he's given us that gift of salvation. And if you're not saved, you just need to look to Jesus. He is the source. He is the one, the Savior. And what a blessing it is to receive his free gift of salvation. Praise God. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed tonight. We've been talking about 2 Chronicles 25:9. The Lord.